Chapter 98. T led to a request that Celeste be interviewed by a larger radio station. The subject was the importance of a living will. Celeste had been strongly in favor of the concept since she worked across the street. She thought that it just made sense for people to think about the end-of-life care of their own bodies as much as they thought about the end-of-life care of their assets. Celeste had put it that way with Franklin Fevel, and the way that she expressed it intrigued Nancy Atwood, who saw an opportunity to get out a good message. They sat in the Morristown radio station. It was more spacious. There were more wires and a control board behind a glass panel where two engineers worked the show. Celeste knew Franklin had an engineer, but she had never seen him. Nancy was smooth in her reading of an advertisement and turned to Celeste. "Today, we are here with Celeste Tuck, also known as the Death Lady of Warren County. Celeste, why don't you tell us how you came to get that name?" Celeste was a little flabbergasted. "I guess I didn't know I had that name." That was exactly the reaction that Nancy wanted. Celeste Tuck has earned that name by being courageous enough to speak out about end-of-life care, the subject that nobody wants to talk about. How do you cope with that, Celeste?" At this point, Celeste was kind of wondering where all this was going and if she was going to be able to cope with the interview. She felt a little blindsided, then praised. "It's probably best if you don't make it a centerpiece of holiday dinner conversations," said Celeste, remembering when Ron had insisted that he tell his mother and George and Bumpy about it at one of their holiday meals. That had been one of his rather poor judgments in timing. "What I mean is that when people are ready to talk about these things, they will ask. I just suggest that they not wait until they were incapable of asking. There are many ways to have diminished capacity to ask, aren't there?" said Atwood. "Yes, definitely," said Celeste. She launched into the direction in which she knew Nancy was steering her. She knew that dementia was the way that she wanted her to go. "It's not that you won't remember who your doctor is, although that can eventually happen. It's that you may have impaired judgment over what you think is best for you." "Celeste, are you talking about euthanasia?" asked Atwood. Celeste knew she needed to be careful here. There was only so much detail for which the average person could abide consideration before they switched her off with a decided prejudice against hearing more. There may come a time when they needed to hear more, but then they would no longer have a choice. "No, it is about retaining control. If you decide you no longer wish to eat, do you want to be forced to endure a feeding tube?" is an example. She saw Atwood wince a little. That was a powerful image. Nancy segued into an advertisement about living on the lakes in the Poconos. After the interview, Nancy said, "Celeste, I'm going to be very honest with you. We think that you'd make a very positive addition to our team. I would like you to come to our offices in Parsippany and listen to an offer." Celeste felt her cheeks warm from flattery. She was pretty sure that she did not wish more upheaval in her life. But she said that she would be happy to meet in Parsippany.